Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
I haven't done it yet. Morning glory. Hallelujah. We are excited, and I'm just going to paraphrase where we're at. This whole thing about the ladder has been about influence, and I'm going to grab my trusty ladder over here. It's interesting because this whole series has been about influencing and stepping up, and here's what I want to emphasize. Is that this symbolizes influence. The dictionary actually says influences is the capacity to change a thought pattern or emotion of somebody to influence somebody else. And so we believe that there's a ladder and there's a ladder holders. And all through Scripture, it talks about people who have held other people's ladders so people can go higher. And so it's that whole ladder of supporting. So one of the emphases I talked about one week was Moses and Joshua, how Moses actually helped Joshua. He held the ladder for Joshua, and God gave Moses this dream about bringing the slave people into the promised land, and he rescued these people out of slavery. They went through the Red Sea, and he had the visions about going to the promised land, but those people kept on circling the mountain for 40 years, and it never made the promised land because they couldn't get to the next step. And so Moses just got to see the promised land. He never got to go in the promised land, but he held the ladder up for Joshua. And he said, Joshua, you are the guy. You are the guy that God has anointed you to bring the next generation into the promised land, which is cool. And he says, I'm going to hold your ladder. I'm going to support your big dreams, and you're going to bring these people. So here's the cool thing. Moses talked about the promised land. He had visions about the promised land, but Joshua got to live in the promised land. And this is where I believe in us. God is saying, we need to help people move and hold the ladders, and there's a next step. And so we are here. The ladder symbolizes kind of our faith journey, how there's this bottom step, and we kind of move up this spiritual journey. It's not an up or down. It's just more just climbing. And so we need to move at some point from just ladder holders at time to we need to become ladder climbers at time. And so I'm just going to go over a few points that we've done before. One point is this: your faith is being built. If you go to a construction site and you see a ladder, chances are that means there's something being built, right? There's something being redone. That means it's not a finished product. That means there's something going forward in it. And so it means that it's being built. Your faith is being built. I love it says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He says we are God's workmanship. That means we're not a finished product. That means that we're being tooled. If you were a finished product, you probably wouldn't be here. We are all here because we are being built. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, you know what's kind of funny? They're called buildings, and they're already built. They should be called builds. Think of all that. They're not building anymore, but they're called, you know what I'm saying? They're not buildings, there should be built. And so, but we are not that. We are being built continually every single day, that we are not a finished product, that it's being constructed. That means, OSHA approved or not, this is our ladder that we have to climb on our spiritual journey, and we need, every ladder before you start, needs to have a good foundation. Amen? It needs to be someplace where it's here. So before I jump into all this, Bill's going to help me out. We got to see some pictures. Anybody want to see some pictures again? So you can start, Bill. You can start with the first one. Some of these we've shared every single week, but it's always fun. You guys want to see these again, right? Yeah. So these are always fun. Like I said, just so you guys see, there's a 2x4 holding up that golf cart. I just want you guys to see that. So you can go to the next one, Bill. I know I emphasized this last week, but I want to share this again. It's not just amazing that he's on a power line. It's amazing that the ladder's not even on the ground. Look at the guys who are just holding it up. I don't know if I trust anybody that much to do that. You can go to the next one. This is my favorite of all time. Well, second favorite. I know Tim Kern does this every day, right? on your construction sites. Like, that's you right there, right? Being the scaffolding. You can go to the next one. This guy, which I just, it amazes me that you can figure that out. Anybody's ever done this before? Yeah. Wow. And those are the guys you want working on your house, because you know why? They'll get it done. Go to the next one. This guy, I can see my dad and I doing this. Like both just helping each other out on a ladder, but not nobody supporting us. That's pretty funny. Go to the next one. This guy, you know, two legs on the ground. That's pretty cool. I mean, you can go to the next one. By far, I know Mike and I, this is our favorite, right? This is like my favorite one. I seriously, every time I see this, I save this on my phone, because if I just kind of tired and I need a big wake me up, I look at this and I just start laughing. Everybody needs a friend who will shove a piece of wood up in their rear to hold them up against the wall so they don't fall down, right? Like that. Like I, because here's the best part about this is that conversation beforehand. I got you, dude. I got you. I'm not going to touch you, but I put a log right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty awesome. Go to the next one. This is a marvel to me. This is like the most amazing thing in my head, because you have to know when you're going to turn, when you're going to stop, what direction you're going to go, everything, because everything is based upon communication at this point. And so you can go to the next one. The next picture is that whole built thing. Faith is being built, for we are his workmanship. And this is what's cool about this, is that we are constantly being built. You are, can I just, all eyes up here. I want, here's my word for you. God is not done with you yet. You're not a finished project. And here's one thing I love. My wife is awesome. Because as soon as we get a finished project, I know there's another one. That's right. It's just like you. You're thinking, I arrived. We got this. I figured this out. I'm no longer addicted to this. I'm not doing this. And then the Holy Spirit speaks another thing to you. You're like, oh, never done yet. Because we're not a finished product. There's always more we got to work on. Next one is this. Take the next step. There is neutral is not a gear. Let me repeat that. If you're starting to drive, learn that neutral is not a gear. You have to be shifting. Even reverse is a gear. When you're in neutral, nothing happens. You either go backwards or forwards, but it's not on purpose because you're just going with gravity. You got to get in gear. You got to take a step. You got to go in some direction. I think too many people are just kind of just, I mean, it's okay to wait on the Lord, but here's what I'm going to be honest. Can I just be honest? I think so many people are saying, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord. Honestly, I believe that God has already been speaking to you, and he's waiting for you to move. And so what's interesting is we just got to take a step. And so ladders, I love that Pete said this to me one day. He goes, when you think about a ladder or a staircase is not meant to be lived on. You know what I'm saying? It's meant to get you to someplace else. You don't sit on a staircase, and you don't design your house saying, let's put a staircase here and here and here. It's great sitting spots. You know what I'm saying? You design it to get you to someplace else. They're not designed to live down. They're designed to get you someplace. And so, and it was cool about that. I love Psalms 37, 23 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Or in other translations says, he orders or establishes the steps of those who love him. I love that. And you can't stay where you're at. You're called to move up. So my encouragement to you is this. I love this because last week we did something. I brought that ladder over and put it here. I put this ladder and I put it here. And I said, everybody in this room has a next step. Every single person, including me. And I had these sheets. I still have them in the back. And I ended the service by saying this. Might be volunteering in kids, might be volunteering with the youth or on stage doing worship, might be computer. You know what? Your next step might be getting water baptized. It might find the Lord for the first time. It might be joining a life group. It might be leading a life group, whatever it may be. But it might be going on a mission trip. Your next step might be a mission trip, which I encourage you to do. And I gave everybody these sheets, and I said, my next step is, and then I had people come up to the altar and put them on the ladders. I'm telling you, to read over those this past week was amazing. You can put that picture up if you have it. I think there's a picture of it. I took a picture. I was so impressed with it last week. There's a picture of the ladders of my next step. I'm not sure, maybe it's not up there. I thought I'd put it in there. But it's interesting because I believe we all have these next steps that we need to take. We just got to take these next steps. And so, and then here's the next one. Every step matters. Every step you take matters. And this is where it comes again. Your steps are ordered and established by the Lord. Every single step matters. Everything you do matters. You literally, it's interesting because it matters so much. Here's what I believe in my heart of hearts. Some people are trying to rush to the next step that you sometimes skip a step and you step up. Can I just tell you how the Lord works? Even though we're in a rush, there's lessons in character building and development to learn on every step of the process. And if we start rushing the process, typically the Lord will bring us back to a step that we skipped to relearn that step all over again. Is that just me or is that everybody else too? I feel like when I start rushing the process, the Lord always has a way to pull me back and saying, listen, this is not about speed. This is about character development. I'm trying to get you better. I'm trying to get you more Christ-like in your character. So every step matters. And next one is this. We need to get the right ladder holders. This is super important to have the right ladder holders because it's interesting because I love this verse that says, you know what I'm saying? Joseph was fruitful vine, a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. Now, check this out. The question is, when you're climbing the ladder, who's holding your ladder? The question about that is the people you have holding your ladder are the ones that you go to for influence. What it makes me really sad is when people go to other people with advice who are they're not on the same page with, sometimes to justify what they want to do, or not in the same, you know, same space spiritually. I'm not saying you can't have these friends, but I'm saying your friends, and then you got your close friends who are your spiritual ladder holders. If the right people are not holding your ladders, you may not be going in the right direction. It's interesting because I love this because it says, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. The picture I see in this is the fact that sometimes, you gotta hear me out on this, sometimes you outgrow your environment. Sometimes as a Christian, as you begin to grow, you begin to outgrow the people or the friends or the influence in your life. Some people in this room are literally in situations right now where you're wondering why the friends that I have are no longer still my closest friends I've had before. Part of it has to do, and listen, I'm not saying that you're better or worse than them, but if your spiritual life doesn't match up with theirs, your conversations and what you care about is not going to line up either. Is that making sense? There's going to be a disconnect and a separation. Not saying you can't be their friends, but your ladder holders are going to change when you change, unless they change with you or unless you change with them. For instance, you grow spiritually, you begin to have kids, and all of a sudden, the friends in high school that you used to party with and used to do stuff and they used to give you your solid advice, if you're still going to them for your solid advice and they're not following the Lord, chances are you're wanting them to justify your dumb decisions, not your good decisions. Amen? So you have got to change your sphere of influence in your life. You got to change who pours into you. You got to say, listen, God is bringing me someplace, and so I want to be with people who are going to help me grow, and I want to grow with these people. And that's why community, that's why life groups and Bible studies and these things are a big deal. So the question is, who are you allowing to influence you? I mean, it's interesting because I just talked to a person a few weeks ago, and they made a dumb decision. I just said, well, who told you? Like, who'd you talk to? And they said, well, they just said, do whatever makes you happy. And I said, okay. I don't even tell my kids that. Because imagine my 9-year-old. Can I have Snickers before supper? Do whatever makes you happy. Listen, that's not healthy. Even though I want to say, it'd be awesome to say yes to this, but listen, you just don't do things that make you happy. You do things that help you grow in your development and character. And listen, I'm telling you, my mom and dad told me a long time ago, listen, if you have a couple decisions to make and you're not sure which one, usually the hardest one is the best one. Isn't this true? Usually the hardest decisions, usually the direction we need to go, the hardest way, because it's just one of those things. And so don't listen to the wrong people. I'm just going to give you really fast. If you're looking for ladder holders, here's what I look for people holding my ladder. When I'm starting to climb and I said, I need some people, strong people who are going to hold my ladders, here's some things I look for. Number one, passionate for Jesus. If you're not oozing with passion for Jesus, it's going to be hard for me to move forward. And I'm not saying, listen, I have some friends who are not passionate for Jesus, but I'm talking about my ladder holders. Next one, character. Character is a big deal. Not just who you are at church, but who you are at home, in the dark, by yourself. Who are you? Attentive. Are you paying attention? A few weeks ago, I was climbing a ladder, and I had my friend Benjamin come, you know what I'm saying, because he had some muscles, and I said, hold my ladder, and we planned this out, guys. It wasn't. He's not attentive, and he was on his cell phone. And I said, you can have the strongest guy in church hold your ladder, but if he's not paying attention, it doesn't matter anyway, because you want people who are attentive, people who are paying attention to your progress. Faithful. You want people who are faithful with God and others and loyal. And I listen, as I look in this room, I can tell you stories of influence. People who were invited to church or people who've come because people influence and says, I'm going to hold your ladder. I can tell you about this amazing family up here who says they came to church because Darren Sarah says, I'm going to help you go higher. Isn't that cool? I can tell you about Sydney and Megan. The first time Sydney came to church, she sat in her car for a while, right? And Megan invited her. And Megan told me, my friend's coming to church. Megan says, I'm going to hold this girl's ladder up. I can tell you about Dom and Sarah, who came because Josh and Sarah invited them. And Zach is here because of that. And now, you know what I'm saying, this whole world became from Josh and Sarah. That's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Good job, Josh and Sarah. But people in this church, everybody has stories. Even there's new people here that says, I came because of this person, saying, listen, whether you come to church here or not, really, that's up to you and the Lord. What matters is people who invite people are saying, I care about your spiritual well-being. I care about you. Let's keep on climbing. Amen? That's awesome to me. And so we need to have that. So here's a question. We started with who's holding your ladder. Then last week, I talked about whose ladder are you holding, the whole next step thing. And today, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to end with this. You know what's really cool? What if Jesus is holding your ladder? What if Jesus is literally saying, what would it look like in your spiritual faith if you felt like you had ladder holders and you also had Jesus saying, let's go? Think about that. Here's what I find amazing. We're talking about life groups and this whole new series came up called Grow Up. Discipleship is so important. Who you surround yourself with is so important. I was just reading a book last night about discipleship called The Four Chairs. It's a crazy book. His whole first chapter was talking about, we always talk about the miracles of Jesus, the physical miracles and what Jesus did. And those things are amazingly important. Don't get me wrong. What's also important is, he took 12 guys who literally are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't, they were nothing to brag about. And in a few short years, he discipled 12 guys, which started into the largest church movement ever recorded in history. What's amazing is he surrounded himself with 12 people that he did life with, that he encouraged, that he helped restore, that change and brought restoration to thousands of other people. You talk about stories, that's who our Lord is. And talk about, he was holding ladders for these guys. So think about this. Jesus was holding ladders for lots of people, but especially 12 guys. And those 12 guys were holding ladders for another hundreds of people and then thousands of people. And just think about that. That's how it works. Thomas Merton says this way. He says, people may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success only to find, once they reach the top, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. Point number one is this. If Jesus is holding your ladder, you better lean it against the right wall. So no matter what, we're all climbing. in some direction. The question is this, is what wall are you climbing on? I want to point this out. I have this ladder over here, climbing on this wall. And I can move this ladder wherever I want to. I can put it on this wall, I can put it on this wall. And I was going to do this, and I didn't decide to do this, but I was going to write on these walls, one was going to be success, one was going to be popularity, and one was going to be. Can I say this? As a youth pastor, I talk about words all the time, like popularity and being cool. And we all think that's like junior high and high schools. That's still adult, right? I mean, we still deal with the same stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so it's interesting because we talk about all these things, and people use words like climbing the ladder of success. And if I just get this car, or if I just have this house, if I just do this. And what happens is you move your ladder to a place, and you're saying, if I just get to this point, then we're going to be okay. If I just had this in my life, then we're going to be okay. So here's my question. What wall are you banking everything on? Think about this. I want us to be honest. Because here's the problem. If we bank it on the wrong wall and we think for us, it's just money. I want success. I want people to look at me a different way and I want this. If you bank and you start climbing that ladder and then you start asking the Lord to support your ladder, there's issues here. It's hard to ask someone to support you if you're not going in the right direction. You hear me on this? Some people say, you know what I'm saying? It might be going this. It might be, you know what I'm saying, a new business. It might be, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is. But is the wall that you put your ladder of faith against the right place that you should be going up to? And I think this is really important to us because I believe with all of our hearts, the Lord wants and is supporting us. We just got to make sure we're going in the right direction. Here's what I believe happens. We are called followers of Jesus Christ. Do you, anybody else have a problem being a follower, or is it just me? Like, some of us are just, you just want to lead all the time. Like, you just like, anybody else, you just go hiking, you're always the first one to go, or you're always just jumping ahead, and you go on a family trip, and you're just kind of leading the charge or whatever. You're just like, let's just go. And some people are natural followers, and it's fine. Listen, but I'm telling you, here's what begins to happen in our spiritual life. We accept the Lord in our lives. We make a decision to follow the Lord. We want the Holy Spirit to fill us up. And then we want the Lord to bless the things that we decide to do. Not the things that we know that he wants us to do, but within our own adventures, we say, I'm going this way. Lord, come follow me over here. Bless what I am doing. Without us saying, Lord, is this a wall that you want me to climb? I'm afraid that we're asking the Lord to bless the things that we're doing. We're not even sure if we're supposed to be doing these things. And listen, can I just be honest with you? I'm not even saying some of these things are wrong. Some of these things may not be a sin. I'm just saying they may not be the right thing because God has something different for you. And this is the struggle that we have, I think, is saying, God, how can I be a follower and not just having you catch up to me, but how do I go where you're going? This is what Moses was saying. He was saying, God, where are you at? Because that's where we want to go. God, we want to follow your presence. Where are you going? Because this is me. How many times do we wake up during the day and say, God, what do you want to do through me today? I struggle with this every time I go to Walmart. Every single time. I feel like when I go to Walmart, anybody, listen, if you don't think that Lord ever answers your prayer, two things you should pray for. Humbleness, he'll always answer that prayer. Humbleness, humility, and patience, because he'll always answer that one too. If you want to be more patient, he'll put you in situations to be patient for sure. If you want to be patient, go to Walmart. I'm a person, ask my wife, she likes to linger. When we go to Target, it's like, oh, her favorite date is Starbucks and Target. I'm like, here we go, Miranda around Target. And I love her, don't get me wrong, but I buy popcorn and drinks, and I'm just like, it's an event. Anybody else like that? And so you guys, all you ladies should go to Target together. Target Bible study from now on, ladies Bible study. And And listen, I go and I'm like, dude, I just want to get in and get out. I don't even care about the cheaper price. I'll be honest with you. I'll just grab it off the rack and let's just go. Time is money. And so we literally, I go into Walmart and the way my mind works, I got a list, I'm gonna get it done. And then of course you're gonna find the shortest line. You just go. And I'm one of those people, if I see a shorter and all of a sudden I see the old lady with tons, like not as many groceries, but she's just slowly doing, I'll skip that and I'll go to the next one. Anybody else? I'm just being honest. Every single time I feel like I begin to act this way, the Holy Spirit challenges me saying, you should stay in this line. And I'm always just want to pull my cell phone and just make it go faster. And the Lord is just saying, slow down. Can I just tell you something really interesting? You want to know a fact about life? Almost every single miracle that Jesus ever did, it started by saying he was on his way to such and such, and he came to a funeral. He was on his way to here, and he came upon a crowd. Most of the miracles that Jesus experienced was interruptions. Are we allowing God to interrupt our lives? Are we allowing God to speak into us and saying, listen, there is a miracle story in front of you. You just got to stop and listen and ask the right questions. Am I climbing the right wall on doing this? If Jesus is holding your ladder, get on the right wall. So the question I would have with that is this. What wall are you climbing? And number two question is, what is success to you? This is a huge, huge question. How do you define success? And if I break it down, if you are a parent, let me put it this way. How does success look to you as a parent? They go to college, get a good job, make a lot of money. They get out of your house. Is that success? You only see them on holidays, like out. I'll see you when you get grandkids. That's about it. Or success to you that you raise kids with character and who love the Lord but have strong character, and I'm saying that you're proud of the way they act and the way they are. Is this making sense? Like, what's success to you? Can I just be honest with you? Even in the business world, people say, well, if I make a $1 million company and I have all these employees, like, that's cool. But what if you had a company that just loved people? What if you had a business that really just added value? Not just made money, but you made people. Some of the greatest businesses in this world are not focused on the financial piece, but they're focused on the people that work in that company. What if you just focused on the people loving better, loving other people better? Did you focus on the development part? Is that success to you? Like, what is success in our marriage? Is it that we just put up with each other? Or is it that we just have, I'm saying that we are still, like, we're dating and we're falling, I'm like, not every day is goosebumps, but it can be, right? You know what I'm saying? What if you still enjoyed doing things for each other? What if you still enjoyed loving and sharing cards and going on dates and pushing the kids away for a night and shoving them in a closet so you can go on a date? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? But literally that you enjoyed doing life together. Like, what does that look like to you? What is success to you? Because how you define success is kind of how you define where your ladder goes and which ladder you go on. And I'm telling you, it's not because I'm a pastor, it's because, listen, I want to be a godly husband and father. Because I know, listen, how I define success, I'm shaping the way how my kids define success. Are you guys hearing me? Like I say almost all the time, more is caught than taught. You can teach your kids, but they're going to watch what you do instead. And so that's that. And so what is success to you? I love Jeremiah. He's a prophet, and he's telling the nation. He says, people, you're climbed in the wrong ladder, leaning against the wrong direction. You backed your head to the wrong horse, and you barked up the wrong tree. And he says, Judah has squandered all her riches because she is going against the wrong wall. These prophets of the Old Testament are literally shouting from the mountaintop saying, listen, you have put your ladder against the wrong wall. You have hitched your wagon to the wrong horse. You're going in the wrong direction. You need to come back. You need to have, listen, ladder holders in your life who will speak prophetically to you to let you know, listen, you might have a great ladder of faith, but you're not climbing the right wall. It's interesting because many are climbing ladders to places they're not called to be. You are wanting God to hold a ladder that's on the wrong wall. Number two is this. I find this. If Jesus is holding your ladder, I'm going to tell you this. Dream bigger. So here's what's funny. I have my favorite ladder right there, and then I found this thing. Isn't this cute compared to that ladder? It's like I put this in the dryer too long compared to that ladder. It's just shrunk. So I have this ladder and I have this ladder. And I keep on thinking of my life, if you have the right people helping you, and you have Jesus holding your ladder, and yet our faith is like this, and it's even higher and climbing, you're stepping higher, you're going to need people supporting you. But if I put this ladder here, and then I say, and I start climbing it, and I start climbing it, and I say, hey, Benjamin, can you come hold my ladder? And I'm like, honestly, the first response can be like, are you serious? You can't walk up that ladder? I'm a little shaky. I can't do it. Listen, it has nothing to do with physical strength. It has everything to do with, listen, I believe sometimes, I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week too, our faith sometimes is pretty small, and we're asking people to hold something that's really not there yet. What I'm saying to you is this, our dreams should keep on going and rising. What God wants to do in you should keep on going and rising. If Jesus is holding your ladder and you have ladder holders, listen, you have the support to carry your faith even higher. But if you stay in that, why would you even need it? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying something. Now listen, I'm going to share this in two different ways. One is, I believe when we start our spiritual journey, we make decisions to follow the Lord, sometimes we do have small ladders. And that's good. Who I'm talking to right now are people who have been in the church for years, who've walked to the Lord for years, and you still want to talk about what God is doing, but literally the way you're living is like this and not like this. And then you wonder why your spiritual life is bored. I'm just bored. I don't know what's going on. I'm not involved. I'm not doing anything. Like I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Just feel safe. Yeah, that's why you're bored. I think it's amazing because, listen, when you have the right people holding your ladder and you're doing the right thing, you can dream bigger. If you do what you've always done, you will get what you've always gotten. Let me repeat that. If you do what you've always done, you will get what you've always gotten. Ladder holders are designed to give you access to heights that you cannot reach from the ground. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's my prophetic word. There are new heights in your life that God has called your family for, that God has called your business for, that God has called you for, that God has called you and your spouse for, God has called your kids for, and the reason you're not reaching those heights is because you're still doing the same things you've ever done without changing anything. And your passion for the Lord is just about there. And God's saying, there's a new season I have for you, but we got to start changing some things in our life. New dreams, new things that God can reach. I find this illustration pretty awesome. Can you put that picture up of the plane? Not the video, but the picture. I find this awesome. I thought about this last week. They design these planes and they build these ships in these big garages. Have you seen this? That's the cruise ship they're building inside. Any guy in here wants that garage at their house? That's pretty sweet. Look at that thing. And then they build these planes inside and they build sections at a time and they put them together and they build them on the ground. But can I tell you something spiritually? Here's what's cool. Even though they were built on the ground, they're not designed to stay there. Listen, even though your foundation is built on the ground and your foundation is built, doesn't mean you're designed to stay there. You are designed for more. Listen, a train is amazing and it's strong and it can pull so much and it can carry so much. But when a train is not on its tracks, it's no good. A plane is not designed to stay, you know what I'm saying, in on the runway. A plane is designed to take off. It might be built on the ground, but it's designed to do something else. Can I just tell you, as believers, even though God is building you from the ground up and God is forming you, you are God's workmanship. You are not designed just to come to church. You are designed for more. You are designed to carry Jesus Christ to your business, to carry, you know what I'm saying, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and carry him to the areas of your life, to have dreams. Can I just tell you this? My guy named Mark Batterson, who's a pastor in Washington, D.C., has these crazy dreams. Here's what he says. Some of the greatest ideas and creative things for the church hasn't even been developed yet. The church is on a new horizon. This is a guy who has a church in downtown. He's in movie theaters, downtown D.C., and he's scared because all these young families are moving out of downtown D.C. because there's nothing for the kids. So their church just bought a rundown building that they're going to convert into a kids' discovery science museum for the purpose of stuff for the kids to do Monday through Saturday, and he can use it on Sunday for church. I'm like going, are you kidding me? Because listen, he's doing this because he is walking his city and praying for God to do miracles within his community and saying, what do you have for us? What do you want me to do? I'm telling you, within your business, within your family, within your own spiritual life, here's my thing. If you don't hear nothing, hear this. God has more for you. God has more for your family. God has more for your marriage. God has more for your business. God has more for your kids. God has more for you. God has more dreams. There's more potential. There's things inside of you. A couple weeks ago, I shared about Zacchaeus, and I think this is really awesome. Zacchaeus, and I'm just going to read it because I think this is a really cool thing. This is Zacchaeus, Luke 19, 1 through 5 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, like not, he was a short man, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I'm telling you, here's what's cool about this. Because of the hunger of Zacchaeus saying, I am not going to just be part of the crowd anymore. I'm going to move past everybody. I'm not going to just stay in this spot anymore. I'm going to take a next step, and I'm going to use a tree like a ladder. I'm going to get up higher so I can listen, so I can see Jesus in a better way. He literally, little Zacchaeus says, I'm going to climb over everybody. He goes, and I'm going to see where Jesus is coming, and I'm going to notice Jesus. And here's the best part. As he's looking for Jesus, he sees Jesus coming, and Jesus notices Zacchaeus. And in the midst of the crowd, he says, Zacchaeus, get down. I'm like, that's crazy. I tell my kids to get down all the time. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus gets down, and all of a sudden, Jesus goes, let's go to your house for supper. That's crazy. This is a guy that no one liked. Zacchaeus the tax collector, no one liked him, but Jesus invited himself over, which is funny. You can imagine, I'm coming to your house for supper tonight. That's funny. I'm going to your house. We're going to eat at your house tonight. He says, we're going to become closer because of your hunger for more. Because I see you climbing that ladder. Nobody else is. Let's hang out. I see you. What's cool is Zacchaeus saw Jesus too. It says again, Psalm 121. We say it every week. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He says, listen, I look up. Zacchaeus looks. Do you know what we need more in our Christian faith? More looking. more being aware. More people going to Walmart without just putting our heads forward in our cell phones and actually paying attention to what God is trying to tell us. We need more people. Can I just tell you this? Too many people are walking through life literally with their heads down, ashamed and full of guilt and full of like just overwhelmingness. And God is saying, listen, you got to lift your eyes up because where does your help come from? Not down here, it comes from up here. He's saying, lift your eyes up. When all of a sudden you go back to Jacob's ladder, week number one, I talked about how Jacob was running from Esau and he went running and he stopped at a place called Bethel, which means house of God. He sat there and he put his head on a rock to sleep. A head on a pillow, figure that one out. Because what I said that Sunday was, listen, when we are running and we're in tough times, we're always between a rock and a hard place, right? We're always, you know what I'm saying? We always say things like, my marriage is on the rocks, or this is pretty heavy to carry. It's a lot of symbolism. So he puts his head down on a rock, and he has this dream, and it says in that dream that he sees a staircase or a ladder from heaven coming down, and angels are ascending and descending from heaven. And he says when he looks up at the top of the ladder in heaven, he sees the Lord looking down at him. But he never looked up until he was on his back. And can I just remind you again? We have got to be people who don't walk around and just saying, woe is me, but people who look up and says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen, you were not created to walk around like Eeyore saying, woe is me, you know what I'm saying? You were created, listen, God created you not to be a victim, but to be victorious. You were not created to be downtrodden, but to be lifted up. You weren't created just to be part of a crowd. You were created to be rise above the crowd. You were created for God to say more. Everybody just stand up. If I can get Dan back up here, we're going to close with this. The phrase I want us to say, there's a couple things I want us to say. Number one, before you climb a ladder, guess what? You look at your ground, make sure you're in foundation, and then you look up. Oh, look at you. Look at that. Melts my heart. And then what you do is this. You look up because you want to make sure where your ladder is going in the right direction. And when we're putting these up, we want to make sure we're underneath. And so you look up. And then you step up. You look up, step up. Look up, step up. You look up, step up. Because you're not looking at your feet, you're looking at where you're going. Look up, step up. Listen, I'm telling you, whenever you're looking up, you can be stepping up. When we look up to the heavens, we're stepping up. And here's what's cool. When you look up, Jesus looks at you. Jesus is holding your ladder. He calls you out. Just like he said to Zacchaeus, and he went from Zacchaeus at a distance, Jesus is coming, to Zacchaeus at dinner. That's pretty amazing. You might be saying, well, I'm not like Zacchaeus. And yeah, you're not a tax collector. You know what I'm saying? But he still wants to have dinner with you. And he says, no longer at a distance, I want to know you face to face. And what's cool about this, there's going to be a slide up there. You can put that up, Bill. It says, Jesus came down so we can go up. Jesus made a way when there seems to be no way. It's interesting because when Jacob's ladder, the picture happened, Jesus is up there looking down. Angels are ascending and descending. This is Old Testament. It's interesting because it's an analogy about what's going on. And he says, how is this going to happen? How are we going to make a way? And then it talks about in Luke, Jesus talks about, he says, I am the way. And he says, I'm the one who brings you up. Can I just tell you this? Jesus came down so we can go up. Jesus came down so we can go up. Jesus came down so He can say, you can go. Like, heaven awaits. There's things out there for you. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, listen, I am supporting you. I am caring you. I am here for you. I've made a way when there wasn't a way. And listen, I will bring you.